Southwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
Well, welcome back to Northwest Prime. We are just happy to have you back, and it's just been a huge week for us. We have had Alan White on, the legendary drummer for the band Yes. He also was with John Lennon. We had Roger Fisher on, who's about to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with his band Heart. And today, Lee Oscar. Lee Oscar is arguably the best harmonica player on the planet. He has been with, for many years, the legendary band War, and he's been an instrumental artist on his own. In fact, he was instrumental solo artist of the year in the past. He has his own band, the Low Rider Band, now. War had tremendous hits, The Cisco Kid, Low Rider, Why Can't We Be Friends? The list goes on and on. So we're going to have Lee with us today. I had the pleasure of seeing Lee not very long ago play live, and he just brought the house down. And he will be playing in Seattle on the 22nd at the Highway 99 Blues Club. And you can also go to leeoscar.com, and he has a list of places around the country that he's going to be performing. So I'm going to play Cisco Kid to get you in the mood for Lee, and we will be right back with Lee Oscar.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine.
him on the phone, and Lee is with us. And I have to tell you, that Cisco Kid, that was a big, big song when I was in the fourth grade in Las Vegas, Nevada. Kids would we were allowed on Fridays to bring an album and to share with the class.
Wow.
And so this one was it was for, you know, our teacher was trying to get us, you know, to appreciate music. We all loved music, and every single week for my whole fourth grade yearly, we listened to Cisco Kid, and we also had listened to Why Can't We Be Friends? I don't think it was out then, but I did hear that one later. But Cisco Kid at that time, somebody every single week brought that to class, and we just rocked out to that. So thank you for that. There are 30 little kids at Lincoln Elementary in North Las Vegas, Nevada, who were just having the greatest time with war.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. Cisco Kid was one of our biggest hits at the time it was released, you know, and Slipping in Darkness was another, and Why Can't We Be Friends? But, like, Lowrider was not a big hit at all, but it's bigger than any of it. It's, like, bigger because it was used by so many different people, from Cheap and Song, Up in Smoke, to you name it. So it's amazing, like, you can have a big hit, but the life of it doesn't last, you know, it doesn't get reused. Like Lowrider has been reused in so many things that it's becoming its own entity, so to speak, you know.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a cult classic is what Lowrider's become.
Yeah, well, my granddaughter even knows Lowrider, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Well, I was talking to my husband. He said, you know, who's on your show? And I said, Lee Oscar's coming on. He's like, Lowrider. And I'm like, yep. I said, I'm going to play Cisco Kid first because that was a big deal to me when I was in school. And that whole year we listened to Cisco Kid. And we all just thought we were just so cool. You know, we were really young. But I'm sure we all had our parents' albums. And we would just haul them in on Friday. And we would just play Cisco Kid. And we were just the happiest little kids in the fourth grade. So
you were cool. Anybody who listened to war was really cool, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Me too. Well, yeah, I was telling the audience right before I brought you on, Lee, that on the 22nd you're going to be playing at the Highway 99 Blues Club in Seattle.
I am.
Which is, that's a great venue.
I like, it's like a home. It's a home for me. It's like I'm surrounded probably by some of the best musicians up here in Seattle. And whenever I'm in town, which I try to be for the last Friday of every month, so this is the last Friday of this month, it's going to be Lee Oscar and Friends Orchestra, and you never know who's going to show up, but it's like a 12-piece band. I have strings. I got cello, viola, and violins, and you name it, from percussion to saxophone to keyboards, beats. I mean, I got the whole thing. It's like it's an incredible music journey. That's all I can tell you.
Absolutely. So you are usually there the last Friday of every month. So if people are coming to Seattle and they're looking for something to do, and they happen to be here the last Friday of the month, the Highway 99 Blues Club is actually it's easy to find too.
Yeah, it's right across from, it's under the viaduct, but it's basically a landmark. It's across from the Seattle Aquarium.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So it's easy to find downtown, and you can actually get there and see Lee if you're there the last Friday. And he will be there the 22nd, and then the last Fridays of every month he tries to be there. And also you can go to LeeOscar.com and keep up with Lee, because you are a busy guy, actually. I was looking over your schedule, and you are busy, busy.
Well, I like being busy. That's a compliment. I no matter how busy I get, I feel like I got to do more. So it's.
Well, I was telling everyone, I saw you at the Play It Forward event in Seattle last month, and I was telling the audience that you brought the house down with your harmonica playing. And I really encourage people to try to get to Seattle, or if they are in Seattle, to get to the Play It Forward event each year. It's in January, because you just have these superstars that you're kind of up close and personal, and it's just amazing. The energy that was there that night was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was a great night. I mean, Alan White, who spearheads played forward, you know, to support the music and the schools and all that. You know, he's an incredible drummer, as you know, from the band Yes. So
mm-hmm.
we've got to connect, and I, on that scene I was playing, and, man, it was John Popper, and, you know, I can't even think of all the people. I'm just,
Roger Fisher, and, yes, was on there. Yeah, I had Alan on last week, and we were talking about that. It just seemed like that you all were just really in the zone that night. I mean, it was, and I was in the audience, and the audience was really, it was really electric, and they were picking up on what you guys were doing, but it really did feel like you guys were in the zone up there.
Yeah, did you check out that the guy who played didgeridoo and the guitar, playing the percussion on the guitar net?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to come to. We're going to play the triple doll on May the 11th. That's a Saturday.
Okay.
The Oscar and Friends Orchestra, and he's going to be. I'm going to have him featured in the band. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Well, I'm going to try to get to that then.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be incredible. He's from Australia. It's like I said, bad name. Blake. What was his? Oh, yeah, Blake Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Blake Noble, I think, is right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So May 11th at the Triple Door. The Triple Door is a great place to play too. May 11th. I'm going to put that on my calendar.
Cool.
Now, can you get in like the zone in every performance, Lee, or does that is that rare, or you know how do you get, or you know how often can you get into that, you know, that kind of that sweet spot of performing?
Every time I play a show, to be honest with you, I'm in my zone, and and what it really is I'm in the moment, and part of the reason I can do this is not only that I'm surrounded by great players, but they know that they're going to screw up if they start thinking. The whole idea is that they know the arrangements. And half of that arrangement is my cues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we know from here to New York what freeway we're going to take, but I'm not going to plan when we have to go to use the restroom and when you're going to go and eat. You know what I'm saying? So
Right, okay.
It's in the moment, and that's how it is with the music. It's like having a conversation. And so every time, that's what I live for. If if I actually play a show and I didn't feel I was in the moment, something is terribly wrong, because that's what I live for. Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. Well, it definitely transpires right into the audience. And that night, they were auctioning off a harmonica that you had signed that night too. And I wanted to bid on it, but I didn't because, yeah, I thought, well, I'm depressed and I'm here and it really should go to a fan. And, of course, it did, so I was happy for him. But then when I left, I'm like, well, wait a second. I was a fan. I could have been. But I kind of talked myself out of it.
Yeah, that was up to raise money. That's actually, there was the Monica sign, but Dan Aykroyd and myself.
I actually
got Dan Aykroyd to use a little engraver and sign them on the cover plates. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was a really good thing to donate for a fundraiser, and I was behind the guy who actually bought it. So, and he was absolutely thrilled. You also are a painter, though, and now you have part of the proceeds of your paintings are they going to the Kirkland Evergreen Hospital Cancer Foundation still?
That's right. Yeah, for throat cancer. I've been painting. Like crazy. Besides manufacturing harmonicas and doing
right.
all these other things, I'm telling you, I eke out as much time as I can every day. I mean, I've just been painting on canvases for the last, I mean for a long time, but for the last 5 years, just like nonstop. And now I got exhibits and chiclets are available. If you go to LeeOscarPaintings.com, you'll see the program called Your Wall, My Gallery. And, you know, people can buy the chiclets, and half of the proceeds, half of the money from the sales goes to Kirkland Evergreen Hospital, or is split between Evergreen, Kirkland Hospital, and the foundation, the establishment that might exhibit one of my paintings that people might like, like there's in Toyota, in Puyallup. There's a few different places that have my my paintings on their walls. And they choose a charity, and then we split it 50-50 between their charity choice and Kirkland Arrow Green Hospital. Yeah.
Well, that is just amazing. And I went to that site, and you are a great painter. So you're also probably arguably the best harmonica player on this planet. And then you also are gifted in paint, and you just can paint like no one's business. I mean, I loved your use of color. Your paintings come across with a really good spirit to them, just real peaceful and hopeful and happy. I really liked all they were just really bright, and it just made me feel happy to look at those paintings. In fact, I'm going to buy one of those too, I think, too.
Oh.
I was a huge Lee Oscar fan.
Oh, thank you. Let me just brag a little on you now. I've heard a lot about your show and that, and so I really feel thank you very much for having me on it. But now, if you'd like, you can offer to your biggest fan out there, because I know you got a lot of fans. You can offer a Lee Oscar harmonica if you like, and I'll sign
really?
It to whoever you choose. That is somebody that reached out to you that you want to offer them a harmonica. I'll send you a harmonica signed to whoever that is. From me.
Wow. Well, that is amazing. Well, you guys heard that, so we will take Lee up on that, because we do amazingly have a lot of listeners. We have some really, really great listeners, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and they are we kind of build this show on promoting nice people doing great things in the community and the world, and we tell people to only forward our show or tell nice people about our show, because mean people suck and we don't want mean people listening to our show.
I agree with you. Well, you're going to have a tough time picking whoever your biggest fan is, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, we did, because we only allow nice people to listen to the show, so
right.
a nice person will win that harmonica.
Okay, perfect.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the Before the Rain album. You did a lot of the cover art with Ward. Did you had to have painted that cover art for Before the Rain album as well?
Actually, I didn't paint that. That was two brothers that actually both painted on that canvas. I was, you know, I chose to be, because I'm into visuals, you know, and painting, drawing and all that, I chose to be the art director, basically, if you will, for Warren, for my own CD albums, not CD albums back then even.
Right.
So I would come up with the concepts, and then I literally had to pick and choose, you know, from various people that a record company might have on file, and see if any particular style would work. Like World is a Ghetto album and Why Can't We Be Friends was Howard Miller. Now, you know, he draws very crude, and mm-hmm. That was the way he draws was the perfect kind of attitude that I wanted for those. So it was interesting to be on the other side of the fence, as much as I like drawing and that, to have to pick and choose. Sometimes it was tough because, you know, there might be 10 people who want to show up the portfolio, and none of the styles worked. And it was kind of strange to be on that side of the fence where you have to turn people down, you know.
Right.
You know, and I've learned since then, man, whenever someone calls me up, like to be anything, like a judge or something, like a music, I ain't going to be a judge. No. No. Everybody paint the way they want to paint on the canvas. So being an art director, sometimes it's a lot of stress and not fun, because you gotta save money, time, and be very discreet about, you know. I mean, it's not a fun side of the fence, at least not for me. So
right, yeah. I've had to judge a couple, you know, Battle of the Bands here in Seattle at the Hard Rock, and it is like you said, it's really hard because I want everybody to win, and they are talented to be able to get up there. You know, they're just a talented group of individuals. Seattle has so much talent. I'm always in awe of all the talent that is in Seattle that is unsigned artists, but then people like you and Alan and Roger and John and who give back so much to the community. And I was telling Alan this last week that as a fan who's kind of with the troops on the ground, so to speak, on the front lines, what you guys do is so big to Seattle. I really don't even believe that I can convey to you how much the people really, really appreciate what you guys do. It is absolutely amazing. I hear good things, Lee, about you all the time. I've never heard a bad thing. People appreciate you being around town, giving back, being at these clubs like Highway 99. I hear people all the time say, I can't believe Lee Oscar's in town playing. So it really is a big deal to the community, and I did want you to know that people – It has transpired, you know, to just the people on the street that they appreciate what you guys do and how you give back to the community so much.
Well, you know, that's, Laurie, that's very kind. But I'll tell you, just like you said, there's a lot of talent. I have a saying, there's never been a lack of talent, but there's always a lack of acknowledgement. So you know, not
that
everybody is acknowledged. And even if they are, and there are more people with incredible talent, if you got to have a lot of desire, sometimes more desire than talent to make it, and you gotta be into the arts, loyal to the arts, regardless of whether you make it or not, you won't even know the difference, you know, until the day you die, you live for it, and that's that big desire, and some of us are very fortunate. Many people may never, you know, find that whatever that, you know, but we always, but everybody's always reaching. I mean, there's, you know, there's no such thing as you made it. You constantly have to create. You constantly have to do what you love doing. And if it helps, if whatever I do, that little bit I do, if it can help the community in any way, It makes me feel good, Laurie. It makes me feel good to be acknowledged, and it makes me feel good to be part of something. So it's that's the easy part, you know. So I'm very fortunate.
Well, it means a lot, especially to these young kids, because they are out there and they're trying to make a go of it, and I think sometimes it can be a bit discouraging. And so when they see you guys out in the community and, you know, patting them on the back every now and then and, you know, just giving them some words of encouragement, that takes them a long, long way. There was a lot of kids from the who came to Play It Forward who were entered into the contest to open, and I know Jake Nannery opened for you guys. And I talked to Jake since then, and he is it was just such a special night, and he was backstage with you guys, and he said he will never forget how you kind of brought him into that brotherhood that night. And so that for him meant so much, and I'm sure that you guys probably didn't even realize what you were doing, but just because you're nice guys, it was automatic to you. But to him, it was a big, big deal, and it'll probably carry him through for the rest of his life. And then, of course, you know, he's told everybody about it, and it's just a good story. Every time I hear it, you know, makes me happy, and it makes me proud that, you know, I was a little bit a part of that night, to be able to be there and witness it and confirm, you know, what Jake was saying, that I saw it too, that you guys were just a fundamentally good group of not only musicians but human beings.
Well, thank you. But if I may just say to you that I always try to be sensitive and aware of as a musician, as an entertainer, or whatever, how I affect people's lives, because music, and especially to some more than others, and what we do, you know, it does make an impact. But I want to say to you that if anybody's out there who wants to really make it in the music business, one of the things that I really, really encourage is that learn how the business works. You don't have to be the smartest in business, but if you don't understand how it works, then you don't deserve, then you don't earn anything, because you only earn what you know how to claim. And if you don't know how to claim it, if you don't understand about your own intellectual property, if you don't understand about copyrights, if you don't understand about publishing, if you don't understand about trademark, there's a lot of things that are tied into when you put yourself out there and want to be in the music business. And you're not being honest if you don't take responsibility to understand what you're agreeing with. I mean, you don't sign a contract without understanding what you're signing. You don't have to be, like I say, smart. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world, but be responsible and be honest and know that you're agreeing to something that you can live up to and know how to claim it. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They just want to play music. That's fine, but then it's not music business. Then it's just music.
Exactly. Well, and I think that is important for people to understand that music is a business. And unless you just want to sing for free, that's really great advice. You're going to have to learn the business aspect of it.
Well, no, actually, I take it back. Music is not business, but music or apples or fish, I don't care, or shoe, I don't care, you know, what you want to talk about. It exists, but the minute you're going to apply it into some type of a business, and if you want to put your life on the line and you really want to dedicate your life and your loyalty to your arts and you got to put food on the table, then you got to figure out how to make it work as a business. And there are many things to learn. It's not that complicated if you're going to be honest about just trying to understand and, you know, just have a general understanding about these different entities is very important. And also, another thing I want to say is the people who are out there, whether you're a musician, I wouldn't give them instruments, grants. I would give them how to learn about publishing, copyright. People who would like to learn how to record, audio engineers, I would give them grants to go into the studio and learn from the best, because how to record the music for the preservation, for history. I mean, you know, way beyond, I'd be dead and gone, and if things over, and any of us know the music has been captured and recorded and preserved at its best, it's also historically very important. So I really think quality, whether it's learning how to maintain a lifestyle in a business or how to record and capture things for the preservation of history, I think all those things should get grants. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I'm with you on that. Lee, you've been in the business for a long time. So what would Lee today tell little Lee who got off that plane when he was 18 years old and wanted to make a way in the music business? What would you tell yourself now that you've learned? What would you tell yourself back then?
The one thing I would say is learn how, you know, stay with your heart and learn how, be honest and learn how the business works. So you know how to claim, so you can earn what you can claim.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fundamentally what I would say. And I would also say don't ever be discouraged. Don't let anybody else be more important to you than yourself in what you believe and what you want to express. That's why, like, judging, we talked about it. I mean, 10
mm-hmm.
people are going to paint a tree, and they're going to paint it 10 different ways. How are you going to judge whose tree is the best, you know what I mean? I mean, I'd have a personal opinion about it, but you know what? Next day I wake up and maybe I like a different looking tree. So
right.
I don't believe anything. Here's what I would say. There's no such thing as absolute truth. So the only real truth is how you care. How I care mm-hmm. is the real truth. And that's the only real truth is how I care.
Mm-hmm. What music do you listen to, Lee?
Mostly myself.
Well, that's a good choice. That's a great choice.
I have a saying that Phil Opcher, the great guitar player, he said to me once, the difference between a job and an occupation, and I've embellished in that. And basically, jobs sometimes sucks. Jobs sometimes it has expectations on you, that can wear you out. So you have to take vacations. You have to vacate from your job place to rejuvenate, so you can go back in there and maybe get beaten up or tolerate everybody's expectations. Now, I have an occupation. That means I'm occupied with what I love doing. And if I'm occupied with what I love doing, it would kill me if they told me to vacate, you see?
Uh-huh.
So,
mm-hmm.
So at the end of anything I do, like a trade show, even for my harmonicas, the business, most people are going, hooray, the show is over. And I'm saying, damn, we're just starting. Because I'm into what I'm doing, and there's a lot of people in workplace. They might do a good job, but they're not really in love. They don't really live, their life for it. You know, they just tolerate the expectations
mm-hmm.
and have skills and perform and do what they got to do. So I would say that to anybody, if you can find your niche in life and be occupied with what you love doing and make that work for you to put food on the table, that's the perfect world. But if you got to put food on the table and you got to step away from what you're occupied with, that's okay, as long as you keep maintaining what you true in your heart, what you love doing. I mean, as long as you can keep that in the equation, because that's what's going to make this world better. If everybody loves what they do, then, hey, nobody's going to get hostile. They're too busy doing what they love doing,
Well, I completely agree with that. And one of the things you love doing is playing the harmonica, and I wanted to talk about, you have your own line of pro-design power harmonicas, the Lee Oscar Collection, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about that because there's the best harmonicas money can buy. Just about, in fact, other musicians, I've read that it's rumored that Junior Wells was even buried with one of your harmonicas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is that true? Wow.
That is true. This year is my 30th anniversary for the Lee Oscar harmonicas. We've been manufacturing for 30 years. And we manufacture at a factory called Tombo, T-O-M-B-O, which that means dragonfly, in Japan, who is now going on 5 generations making harmonicas. And so with my designs and ideas and the expertise in collaboration, we launched my line of harmonicas, the Lee Oscar harmonica system, which are like basically 43 different harmonicas, the typical major diatonics in 14 keys because a low F and a high G. But then I make 12 keys in natural minors, 12 keys in harmonic minors, and then I make 5 keys, what we call a melody maker. And then interchangeable parts, they all reed plate, so when you blow out a reed, you don't have to throw away the whole harmonica. You can replace with any of the parts. Anyhow, the same product, the same system that I've been manufacturing has been the same product for 30 years. So, Laurie, I'm proud of saying that it's not just that I've been 30 years in the business manufacturing harmonicas, but it's the same product, which I'm very proud to say because of the quality control and the design, everything has been very consistent. So I'm not trying to still figure out what to make that's to stay in business. Our product is serving well. It's a lot of people are using it, and it grows every year. So I'm very pleased because that was a tool that I needed for my own playing, which got me in first place involved in manufacturing because I was so frustrated with what existed. And since I've had my harmonicas to play, I mean, I've been a happy camper. And thank God, a lot of people as well like my product because there's no way in the world I could have the best harmonicas for me if like I said, a lot of people didn't use it as well, yeah.
What is the growth right now with musicians playing harmonicas, Lee?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because we're about 30% of the market in the world, and I feel it, and I told my people, different distributors I had meetings with at the NAMM show. I said, this is the 30th anniversary, but these have been 30 years of planting seeds, basically preparing, and the first year of sales will be this year. And the reason why I say that is because I make melody makers, natural minor, harmonic minors, and those tunings I want to start marketing and promote to the people who don't consider themselves harmonica players, the people who play guitar and ukulele, percussion, you name it. And I'm setting up a website. It's going to be called Lee Oscar Quick Guide, and it's going to show how to, without learning how to play harmonica, just breathe in and out, and you take these different tunings, and now you can play reggae, you can play African, you can play clava, you can play tango, you can play all kinds of different music along with your guitar, ukulele. So this is what I think is going to then make the sales. I mean, more and more people are going to include harmonica then in the sound, so to speak.
Right.
So I think growth is going to really start happening. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing easier to carry around if you're a musician than a harmonica. It's really hard to pack around your guitar or your drum set, but a harmonica, it'll fit right in your pocket, and
right. It's.
You know, and then you can have music with you anytime. I hate to say the word play, but I play a guitar, but not like real people play, but I play at my own level. But it's really hard to take it anywhere because, you know, it gets out of tune if you move it at all. And, you know, and then, of course, it could get on an airplane, you know, then they'll break it or whatever, getting on the airplane with it. But a harmonica, it's just easy, just fits right, you know, you can just take it with you. It doesn't go out of tune if you jostle it around at all, and I don't know how hard it is to play because you make it look so darn easy. But,
here's the thing, the harmonica, I mean, some of us, we play harmonica. I mean, you know, I consider myself a player. But most,
I do too.
Well, thank you. But most people who play harmonica don't really play harmonica. The harmonica plays them. And the harmonica was designed for the musically hopeless. So, in other words, if you just breathe in and out, you're going to make music the way a harmonica is set up. There's no discords. So you're going to, whether you start from blow to draw or start from the draw to the blow, you're going to play some cool stuff. The thing is, though, the harmonica, when it's playing you, it's going to play within the chords that are set, you know, the notation layout that's set that provides you certain chords or harmonies. And typically the major diatonic harmonica is what most people use or identify as the sound of harmonica. And that'll play either what we call campfire music, country music, German umba music, if you will, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, to maybe Chicago blues. And that's the world, beginning and end of what harmonica image is. So if you take one of those harmonicas and breathe in and out, you're going to be in that kind of a mode. But how about reggae or clava or you know, all dip ska, other kinds of grooves, you can take the other tunings I make and just breathe in and out. And all of a sudden, you've got different chords, which are going to set it up to have a different motif that'll make it, without learning how to play, just like the major diatonic for blues or folk music, now you can breathe in and out on a melody maker or a natural minor, harmonic minor, and you've got these other modes that all of a sudden sets up another motif of music. That, and it's all easy. I mean, they'll play you, and then, of course, you can get really good at it, and then you'll have control over it. But initially... It's right off the bat. It's not like a guitar. You put your fingers on guitar. It's not going to strum a chord till you learn where to put your fingers. Harmonica, you just breathe in and out, and it's going to play you.
Right. Well, the great thing as a fan, when we see people like you play the harmonica or Alan on the drums or Roger Fisher on the guitar, what you guys show us is what that instrument really is capable of doing, you know. And a lot of times when we're at home, we forget what that instrument is capable of doing. But when we see you guys play, you really show us just the beauty of that instrument and you know, what it's capable of doing and the music that can come out of that same instrument that we might have, but what you're able to do, it's inspiring as a fan. And I think as fans, we need those reminders, you know, when we watch you guys play, it just makes us enjoy the music so much just to watch you and be reminded of what that instrument is capable of doing, if in the right hands.
thank you, but you got to remember, I mean, I've been playing harmonica. I mean, I don't know how I played my first harmonica when I was 6 years old, and I've never stopped since that first moment I got my harmonica. So you got to, you know, sooner or later, you got to get good at something, you know. And, and I think it's just a matter of how much time you put into something and how much you love it. It's very kind of you what you say, and. You know, but it's also the amount of time someone's put into
right.
something that we live for, you know.
Right. Well, it's inspiring when I'm around other musicians, and of course it inspires me to work harder and practice harder and play better. And so if a person can be around other musicians, it is hard. Like you were saying before, we have to put food on the table, and you know, you're just kind of in the day in, day out of, you know, existing or surviving in the world. But if you can get with some groups or be around musicians or put yourself around musicians, it is inspiring to get you back into practicing, because if you're not making a living at it, it's hard to kind of carve out the time to do that. But for me personally, I noticed that, you know, when I am around musicians, you know, quite a bit. It does make me want to be a better player, you know. It encourages me just being around people and, you know, and seeing what the instrument is capable of when you do practice. So,
you right, know, Lauren,
practice,
like,
it is important.
No, I hear you. But now, you see yourself, like, you love music. Now, I have come to the conclusion a while back, based on my experiences, that my opinion is that there's a lot of people who listen to music, who love music, and hears music profoundly, maybe deeper than any of us as musicians. But they don't know how to channel their feelings to music on any instrument.
Mm-hmm,
in other
mm-hmm.
words, there are people who play musical instruments and may not have as big ears, may not hear music as deep as some people who can't play. In other words, music, we all, you know, some more than others, we all connect with. And I believe that just because somebody knows how to channel it through an instrument, that doesn't mean that they're the ones that know more about music than somebody who has no way of channeling their music. They profoundly hear so deep. I mean, they got big ears and they love music, and they got to be like, it's got to be almost like living in hell. You hear all this and feel all this, and you're looking for somebody who can express it so they can at least maybe stand up. I mean, say something on your behalf. You know, you see.
Mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because universally, I really do feel like we're all connected. And that connection is felt most of the time through music. And music makes people one. It brings people together. Whatever people's differences are, when music comes into the equation, people forget everything else and they're just in with the music. And that's what was happening that night at the Play It Forward. There was people from all different walks of life and we were all in one theater that night, and we were all just one collective energy. And that energy was started on the stage with you guys, but it went out into the audience and it hit us. And then collectively, we were all happy together and everyone was friendly, and there was a commonality amongst us all, and music is what made that happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, when I was on the blues cruise, you know, and it was like mm-hmm. 7 days in the Caribbean before we decided to dock in Jamaica, Everybody's playing the same old poem, you know, all this blues, 1-4-5 chord changes, great stuff, though. You know, Taj Mahal, Charlie Musselwhite, Kim Wilson, I can't remember all the people, myself. Anyway, we all playing. And when we got off the ship in Jamaica, I knew, like, my melody maker, that other tuning that I make, which goes from major seventh to a minor seventh, like from a major seventh to a minor second chord. And that's the kind of mode that you would use for reggae. And when I got off the boat, and here we are, we're the tourists now, and all these people in Jamaica comes up to us and want to sell us, like, you know, little wood carvings of bongos, little parrots, whatever. All of a sudden, I kept saying no. So I took out of my back pocket a melody maker because I knew that's what they would relate to. And I started going, ka-ka-dik-ba-dung-ka-ka. I wish I could play right now. I don't have one in front of me. And it's like, that's exactly what they hear music to their ears, you know. And they
right.
forgot. The music, when I heard that music, they forgot about the tourist. I swear, they were just, they were grooving to the stuff. And then 20 minutes later, when I stopped, they said, come on, play more. And I didn't want to play. They went back to the stand and brought me all these things they were trying to sell to tourists and gave me bags full of all the stuff. And I got back on the ship and said, because of the melody maker, I gave out all the stuff to people.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, and you know, it's a common language. It's a, you know, it speaks soul to soul. I believe music, you know, goes from soul to soul, and that's the common language. And that's what's so great about music is that's the language we all can speak and relate to. And when we're in that, and when you guys are making that happen, and we are all in that, it's perfection, you know. It's just, it's peace and harmony and love and all the great things in the world all coming together for that moment. And I think that's what, you know, people love about music, is because everybody likes, your spirit likes when it's in that place, and music is where that happens.
Well, let me ask you something. We've been philosophizing here for how long now? Are we going to play some music?
Well, you know, I'm going to actually let you go here in a minute. We're going to play Lowrider, and I only asked you for 10 or 15 minutes, and you were gracious enough to give me 45, and I really appreciate that a lot. And let me tell you, I am no scholar by any stretch of the imagination, so it was really great to talk to you. And I'm not known for my philosophizing, but...
Could I ask you a big favor?
Sure.
After you've done with the show and all that, contact me so I can send you a harmonica that you can provide for your, you know, your favorite fan or whatever. And
I will do that.
Secondly, would you let me know how many you plus, you know, coming to my show on Friday, and I'll make sure you get a nice seat. I need to know that.
Well, I probably won't be at this one on Friday, although I will be. Are you going to Roger Fisher's on Saturday?
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be at Roger's on Saturday. I guess there's a birthday party or something for him. But I am going to come to the next time that you're at the Highway 99 Blues, so that will probably be in March. I will come to that one. I'm definitely going to come to the Triple Door in
May 11th.
May on that one. On May 11th, I'm going to come to that one, and I'm going to come to the one in March as well.
So I
will definitely do that. Lee, you have just been amazing. You did not disappoint whatsoever. I knew you were a nice guy, and you proved that over and over and over again. That's why you have so many fans, and I appreciate you donating the harmonica. We will get that into the right fans' hands. Thank you for being so generous with your time, and thank you for providing us with some amazing music over the years, and you continue to do so.
Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. And all you people out there, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, Lee, and I will see you probably next month. And you can run, but you can't hide, because when you tell me to come, I really do show up. So
I want you to let me know ahead of time so I can make sure you got a nice seat reserved for you, okay?
All right, Lee. You are the greatest. Thanks a lot. Have a great day, and thank you again for all the extra time that you gave us today.
My pleasure. Take care now. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lee.
Bye.
See, I do not lie with to you guys. When I say that we're bringing in nice people, we bring in nice people. Lee is just a great guy. I've had the pleasure of being around him, and he, you know, just what you see is what you get with him. And for him to give us that amount of time is just amazingly gracious. He is just a nice person. If you're in Seattle, the Highway 99 Blues Club is right downtown near Pike's Place Market or Pike Place Market, so it's easy to find. You heard Lee say that he is there the last Friday of every month, and then you can also go to leeoskar.com, OSKAR, and find out where he's going to be. He's all over the United States and Canada and really all over the world. So that is it for Lee, and we are going to be back. Our next big guest coming up is going to be Regina Brett. She wrote some New York Times bestsellers called God Never Blinks and Be the Miracle. And I was watching the Today Show, and Hoda Kotb was reading God Never Blinks, and she was talking about Regina Brett, and that encouraged me to read the book. And it was a great book, so we're going to be bringing Regina on. But anyway, I do want to go ahead and thank again Alan White, Roger Fisher, and Lee Oskar for coming on for our Legends series. They were just absolutely amazing. You can hear the interviews with Alan White. Again, he was the drummer on the Imagine album with John Lennon. John Lennon requested him personally. Roger Fisher with Heart. He's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in just a few months. And then Lee Oskar. Lee Oskar was with War, and he has his own band, the Low Rider Band. And as you just heard, just an amazing guy. So I'm going to leave you now. We're going to go out with Low Rider. Thank you for listening. If you know nice people, be sure to click the link below where you can tweet them or Facebook it or email them the link, because we want to grow our audience with nice people. Mean people need not apply. Have a great day.
Take a little trip.